the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our first big show. We had our intro last week just to let you know what's coming, and this is the first big show, and I'm excited for it. We have a really great guest today, Pat Fitzmorris. You can find him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. He is a purveyor of fantasy football wisdom, according to his Twitter bio. You can find him at 444SI and the PFW Fantasy Football Guide when that rolls out this summer. He'll be contributing to that. So without further ado, Pat, how's it going?
Hey, John. Great. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, happy to be talking some fantasy football with you. We're going to dive right into free agency. Is the hype train going to be out of control on Lamar Miller by the time the fantasy football draft season rolls around? I think it is.
Oh, man, he's definitely the marquee name in fantasy football as far as free agents who changed venues. Yeah, I think it kind of is. I mean, people, I think the consensus is that the Dolphins misused him and were overly conservative with his use, and that, you know, there's untapped fantasy potential there. You know, we'll see if that's the case. I mean, so often we don't get the entire story, and you know, maybe the Dolphins were under the impression that he wore down too easily, or there were certain parts of their offense he maybe wasn't grasping. Who knows what the full story was? Or maybe the consensus is right and they were just being ridiculously over conservative with him. So that's going to be interesting to see, and no question I think he's going to be a pretty early pick in this year's draft.
Is he crawling up into the first round for you? Are we talking that high for Lamar Miller?
Not for me, and I kind of think that would be a little overly aggressive for him. To me, I think he's still, you know, late second, I think, would be the earliest I could look at him. You know, just because he doesn't have the track record as far as being a workhorse. You know, I'm not gonna credit him with something that he hasn't done yet, even though a lot of people blame the Dolphins for that.
A lot of people blame the Dolphins for a lot of things, so I think that's I think we're on track with that. We're talking free agency and how it affects fantasy football, your fantasy football teams, your fantasy football rosters, guys that maybe moving up, maybe moving down, with Pat Fitzmorris. So, Pat, who, in your opinion, had the best offseason as far as helping out us in fantasy football?
For individual players?
Players or teams. I mean, yeah, either way.
Or teams. I mean, I guess I kind of like, you know, Marvin Jones, not, you know, a huge star, not, you know, not a guy you're going to be looking at in the early rounds, but I think his stock improves going from the Bengals to the Lions just because the Bengals had A.J. Green, they had Tyler Eifert, you know, and Jones still put up some pretty credible numbers over the last few years when healthy, but, you know, he wasn't really a focal point of the offense, and he maybe has a chance to be, you know, a little bit more of a first option in the Detroit offense now that they don't have Calvin Johnson anymore. You know, they do still have Golden Tate, and it's probably going to be a 1A, 1B kind of thing with those two, but I do think he's going to see an uptick in targets that's going to make him more valuable. And really, John, I mean, I think this was a really interesting free agent period for tight ends. A lot of guys with questions are all of a sudden going to really interesting and promising situations, like Ladarius Green, who could never get out from under or out from Antonio Gates' shadow in San Diego, all of a sudden goes to the Steelers and, you know, could be a real interesting weapon for Ben Roethlisberger. The oft-maligned Jared Cook, you know, such a tease for so many years with the Rams, and now he's going to Green Bay, and he's going to be playing with Aaron Rodgers. So pretty interesting there. And Kobe Fleener.
You know, that's my guy.
Notorious for drops, and you know, even though he and Andrew Luck played college ball, it never quite clicked for Fleener, even though I think he's been a little underrated as a fantasy commodity in recent years. But now, going to New Orleans, you know, he's not – they still have Hill, so he still might be in a bit of a two-tight-end mix there, but still he's going to a pretty good offense, and with Drew Brees there – he's going to be a real interesting fantasy commodity.
Yeah, Brees loves throwing to the tight end. I think Fleener, I think he's, because just on pure talent alone, I think he outpaces Hill early on. And I think on volume, Fleener probably top eight tight end for me going into the year.
Yeah, I don't think top 10 is unreasonable at all. I mean, he's, you know, I still think it's a position where if you don't get Gronk, you know, you can wait a little bit, but he's going to be one of the guys who, if you do kind of lay back at tight end a little bit, is going to be real interesting in the mid rounds of draft.
Who intrigued you the most as far as someone who switched teams over free agency?
I mean, Matt Forte is another big name, and that's kind of interesting just because I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out there if, you know, Forte is workhorse running backs are such a valuable commodity in fantasy football. And Forte has been one of the few guys over the last 5-6 years who's just consistently delivered and gotten massive volume, massive touches, massive workload, and has just produced consistently. And you know, I don't know if he's going to have quite the same sort of role with the Jets. I mean, he's got a lot of mileage on the odometer, and you know, I think the Jets value Bilal Powell more than a lot of people realize, and they also brought in Kyrie Robinson as a free agent in the offseason. So, you know, although Forte does have this track record of being a workhorse, I'm curious about whether they're going to, you know, let him be the clear number one guy, or if he's going to settle into more of a committee where he's just sort of the starter and the top guy, but also shares a lot of work with Powell and Robinson.
And I'm a little concerned about the quarterback situation if Fitzpatrick does not re-sign with the Jets. I ultimately think he will end up back in New York, but if it's not Fitzpatrick and you've got to find some other retread out there, Fitzpatrick worked in that offense with Chan Gailey's offense last year. So if they're trotting out Geno Smith or somebody like that, I'm definitely downgrading not only Forte, but everybody in the Jets offense.
Yeah, that's a really good point, John. I mean, it's interesting, like, with the Fitzgerald or Fitzpatrick situation, you kind of look at it and think that, well, the music has stopped in the game of musical chairs and Fitzpatrick has to go back to the Jets. Where else is he going to go if he wants to play? But, you know, if the Jets really play hardball and there's an impasse that prevents that, and it is someone like Geno Smith or, you know, they bring in some other backup caliber guy to start. Yeah, I mean, especially with a pass-catching back like Forte, that could hurt.
Definitely. And I want to talk about more than just the skill positions here, because I think there's a correlation for some of these moves. For example, I really like Oakland bringing in Kelechi Osemele to the offensive line. He's arguably one of the top offensive guards in football. You add him on that offensive line, that makes me like Latavius Murray, Derek Carr, the wide receivers in Oakland a lot more. Any other moves like that that you really like that maybe we don't always think about in fantasy football? An offensive lineman, well, we're not drafting an offensive lineman, but somebody adds an offensive lineman or even somebody on the defense to bring up a defensive special teams guy.
Yeah, I mean, that was an excellent point with the Raiders additions. I mean, that's going to – their offensive line is going to benefit from that. They had money in free agency that they had to spend, and they spent it. And very true that offensive line moves are sort of often overlooked in the fantasy world. So, I guess other ones that come to mind, along those lines would be, I was in the skill position brain track there, but
I really like Jeff Allen to Houston too. That makes me hyped up on Lamar Miller a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean it does. You know, that wasn't a bad offensive line to begin with, and I only think that's going to help. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just blanking here. Jeff Allen was a good move. So many of these guys re-signed. Let's see, Brandon Brooks from the going to the Eagles from the Texans, pretty solid move there. Mitchell Schwartz, I thought, was kind of an underrated add for the Chiefs. Alex Mack going to the Falcons. I mean, that's a team that definitely needed some offensive line help, and they're getting the best center in the league. So, that bodes pretty well for, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, that definitely helps out the Falcons offense from a fantasy perspective. Last free agency signing I want to ask you about, RG3. Staying away, do you feel good about it? Just do you feel good about him getting out of Washington? What are your thoughts on RG3?
As of now, I'm staying away, John. I mean, unless he turns it on in the preseason and we see flashes that we haven't seen for a couple years, I'm going to be really cautious there and just kind of assume that he's broken beyond repair. It would take a lot to make me think that he had recovered. I'd have to see more than just, one good preseason showing. There would have to be glowing reports out of camp and then a couple of strong preseason outings to back it up. But, still optimistic that maybe Colin Kaepernick can turn things around, I'm pretty much avoiding RG3 right now. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm staying away, especially with all the losses on Cleveland's offensive line. You know, they had Alex Mack and they had Mitchell Schwartz, and they just didn't want to re-sign those guys. And then you're going to bring in RG3, who needs protection, and you just took away two of his best potential offensive linemen. I mean, not the best. He's still got Joe Thomas, but you're taking away number two and number three there. That's not a recipe for success on a real football or fantasy football level to me.
Exactly. And they're still, the return of Josh Gordon could potentially help with the pass catching weaponry, but I think it's going to take more than that to make RG3 viable again.
All right, coming up on the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, we are going to be talking more with Pat Fitzmaurice on big takeaways from fantasy football in general from this past season, what we learned, what we're valuing more now, and then look ahead to the NFL draft, looking at guys who could maybe find themselves in really great situations as rookies. So that and more when we return. Welcome back to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. We're talking with Pat Fitzmaurice. We just went over some free agency moves, guys who have really improved their situations for our fantasy football purposes. Now we're going to branch out a little bit to our big takeaways from fantasy football. And Pat, I want to start with sort of in your process, what are you valuing more now than you did even a couple of years ago when you're looking at guys to draft or guys at the waiver wire, really kind of fantasy football in general? Big takeaways, ways, things you have learned over the past couple of years that you are applying more than you did a couple of years ago.
The one big thing, John, I think this is kind of a sea change that's going on with fantasy football, and I think a lot of the smarter players have been catching on to this, and maybe I'm just starting to come around on it. So it's just the devaluing of the running back position, the added emphasis on the pass catchers, particularly the wide receivers, just because I think for so many years, the workhorse running back, those guys were the holy grail, and we chased those guys because when you found one and when it worked, that was by far the most valuable asset you could have in fantasy football. But those guys have become so increasingly rare. And, you know, it still happens from time to time. You know, a couple years ago, it was the big season with DeMarco Murray, and, you know, Le'Veon Bell, until he got hurt last year, was that kind of guy. Adrian Peterson has had some huge years. But it's just very, very rare to find that a running back who gets that sort of workload and puts up those sort of numbers, and yet I think we're all chasing that. And sometimes we're wishing, this is kind of appropriate after our Lamar Miller conversation maybe, we're all wishing workhorse status on guys when really there's just a very small handful of those types of players, and chasing them is there's opportunity cost there, and you're missing out on potentially more consistent, more productive players at usually a wide receiver, where guys tend to produce more consistently. The workloads, you know, if an ace wide receiver is healthy, he's always going to be in there. He might have some down games, but he's going to have a lot of big ones. And I'm starting to look at it as, rather than going after big workhorse running backs, I'm drafting a portfolio of, you know, part-time guys who, over the course of the season, maybe their value waxes and wanes a little bit. But, you know, if I get four or five committee contributors, I can win that way.
I think Wishing Workhorses is the new name of my garage band, by the way. So I guess from a positional scarcity standpoint then, when you're looking at the first, you know, two picks in your draft, which everyone, that's where everyone's focus is on. What am I doing in round one? What am I doing in round two? Obviously, it depends on where you're picking in that round, but are you shying away more from a running back in those first two spots? Because like you said, it used to be just grab two running backs right away and then fill out the rest as you go. But now maybe it's Gronk. Maybe it's a top flight QB. Maybe it's, like you said, those wide receivers that have really become almost stable, a guy like Julio Jones or a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, where you can pretty much predict what you're going to get out of them every week. You couldn't do that with wide receivers 10 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of a golden era for wide receivers, I think. And, if it definitely has affected my early round strategy. I fought that change for a long time, and, I've chased running backs in the early rounds for years. And, now it's, you know, not out of the realm of possibility that if Le'Veon Bell were available at, say, spot four, maybe after, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and Julio Jones were all off the board, that, you know, I might still go with Bell just because, you know, plays in the explosive offense. He's going to get a lot of work. Versatile, talented. You know, it's kind of the perfect situation as far as a guy who's maybe worth chasing for that workhorse role and the potential for huge numbers. But really, I'm less inclined to chase than I used to be.
Yeah, and I like the idea of a portfolio of running backs.
It's just the perfect example, I think, is what we saw from Deion Lewis last year before he got hurt. I mean, he was by no means a workhorse runner in the New England offense. He was just a guy who fit what they were doing so well and could do so much damage on just maybe half a dozen carries a game, five or six catches a game, you know, turning those 11 or 12 touches into 90 to 100 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, I'm happy to throw a guy like that out there every week, you know. And there are probably going to be a few weeks where it's just not his week. Maybe the Patriots get up big and they decide to bang with, not LeGarrette Blount anymore, but some big banger, whoever they use in that role this year. But for the most part, I think you're going to get good games out of a Deion Lewis type in that offense. And there are other guys who, you know, as in part-time roles, can be pretty productive.
All right, let's look ahead to the NFL draft that went on later this month. There are, I think, some really good potential situations out there for fantasy for some of these rookies. Who are some guys that you think, okay, if he goes here, man, that's a guy I got to keep my eye on once the draft is over?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, I think, depending on needs, you know, the Rams obviously, you know, need someone, need players. But it's kind of, it's one of those things, most of the neediest teams at wide receiver are teams that, you know, don't have very great situations at quarterback either, you know. But generally, maybe that's another thing I've leaned towards in recent years, just trying to pair wide receivers with good QB situations. And, you know, that's going to be interesting to see where a lot of these guys land. You know, I don't necessarily want to write guys off just because they go to teams with second-tier quarterbacks, whereas maybe there's some more opportunity for them. But, you know, it's going to be interesting once some of the wide receivers especially start fitting in here. And, you know, that's in a year where I don't think it's entirely clear what the pecking order is at wide receiver in the draft or what it should be. I mean, I know a lot of people like Laquan Treadwell the most, a lot of people like Josh Doctson, but for me, it's going to be very situation dependent as far as how I value them in fantasy this year.
All right, I'm going to throw out two that I've seen in recent mock drafts that I kind of see and go, oh, well, that could be very interesting. One is Laquan Treadwell to the Giants. You put him opposite of Odell Beckham, and you're going to see a lot of single coverage, I think, for Treadwell. And then Corey Coleman to the Texans, again, opposite a stud wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. I know it's Brock Osweiler throwing it, but Osweiler's fine, and you give him a couple of weapons, and then all of a sudden Corey Coleman, all you're doing is asking him to go deep, which is what he did great at Baylor. Any of those situations entice you?
Yeah, that's Treadwell to the Giants would be very interesting. You know, I mean, Beckham's always going to get the targets, and he's going to be the number one guy clearly. But then, as you said, you're talking about a lot of one-on-one matchups for Treadwell, who, you know, is a guy with the potential to dominate one-on-one matchups. Not a real burner, but just so good at battling people for the ball and, you know, physically just dominating cornerbacks. So that's very interesting, and I think that would, you know, make him a wide receiver two possibility, maybe a wide receiver three type guy as a rookie, which is saying quite a bit. And yeah, Coleman's an interesting one, and the Osweiler fit, I had just seen a comparison somewhere. Someone was comparing Coleman to Emmanuel Sanders, which is kind of interesting since, you know, Sanders and Osweiler paired fairly well together. So, you know, and I think Osweiler does have enough arm to take advantage of Coleman's speed. So, yeah, with a guy like that, a rookie who's more of a big play guy, I tend to be a little more conservative than a guy like Treadwell who, you know, I think could be more of a high-volume receiver consistently. But they're both pretty intriguing.
Do you typically go for rookies, go for young guys with upside in your fantasy draft, you know, if you can later in your fantasy football drafts?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the fit. I mean, I don't have, like, one set philosophy with that and tend to take it more of a case-by-case basis. But, you know, I'm for a long time, my philosophy was to generally fade rookie receivers. But, you know, the last few years, rookie receivers have been contributing more and, you know, they've been impact players in some cases. So I've kind of changed my tune on that a little bit. And, you know, if they show me something in the preseason and they've got the college pedigree, I'm definitely willing to give them a chance.
All right, wrapping up things here with Pat Fitzmaurice, our last question. We realize it is early April when we are asking this, but give us one guy, just one guy, that we might be surprised you like, kind of a sleeper-ish type guy. I don't want to say the word sleeper in April, but I'm saying it anyway. One guy that we may be surprised about going into next fantasy football season.
All right, this is kind of out of left field, but
that's great because this question's out of left field, so that's fantastic.
I'm going to predict that Chase Daniel is going to unseat Sam Bradford in Philadelphia, and be a I don't know about coveted fantasy quarterback, but I will say useful fantasy quarterback sometime before, say, late October.
Well, when you tell a Missouri alum that Chase Daniel is looking enticing in fantasy football, I'm listening.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Doug Peterson there, Daniel having played under held the clipboard under Peterson for so long, I think there's a simpatico with the two guys. And, you know, Daniel always played well in the preseason whenever he had his shot, in New Orleans, in Kansas City. He strikes me as a guy with just moxie. You know, I that's kind of a vague term, and, you know, especially now in our stat-oriented age, that sort of vague compliment doesn't always substitute for, you know, numbers and measurables. But
no, I covered Chase in college, so I wrote about him when I was in school. So he does not lack for confidence or moxie, as you put it.
Oh, right, he's just got something to his game, doesn't he? I mean, it's just there's a quality to him, and would not surprise me if he wound up in that job very quickly and surpassed all expectations.
All right, his name is Pat Fitzmaurice. You can follow him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Pat, thank you very much for joining the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it.
All right, and that'll do it this week for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with a new podcast.